Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Ben McKechnie's been picking up some surprisingly meaningful messages about relationships. First in Hugh Jackman's latest movie, Real Steel, and also in the Steve Carell flick, Crazy Stupid Love. And just for good measure, he's also got an animal rights documentary to tell us about. Ben, welcome. You've got it all covered tonight.
Yeah, Lee, but I thought before we do that, I just would demonstrate that your program isn't sponsored by Apple by saying that I don't have an iPhone and I was a late bloomer to the technology. I wasn't going to get one, but a couple of months ago, I thought I'd better get one of these funky handset things.
Yeah.
I now have an Android phone, but one of the reasons, well, actually the primary reason I did it is because I saw so many people with that YouVersion Bible. You know, you download the Bible, the app on your phone.
Yes, yeah.
The Bible app is fantastic.
Yep.
And I now, instead of listening to music when I walk to work, I listen to the Bible being read to me.
Yep.
And that was one of the main reasons I got one of these phones.
Great idea.
But that actually has really changed my life.
A couple of years ago, my minister sidled alongside me, slid up the pew to show me when the Bible reading started, his translation of the Bible in Greek. How geeky is that?
Yeah, I've seen some people with Greek like at the bottom half of their screen and the English translation above it. And that's way too geeky for me.
Yeah, Greek geeks on iPhones and Androids.
Too many geeks, but we're getting off the track.
Yes, Real Steel first. Yeah, yeah. This stars Hugh Jackman.
Yes, and it's about giant boxing robots. Well, at least that's, I think, what the ads present. And I think a lot of people going in, that's what they'll expect. It's definitely what I did. And I was actually hoping it would be a giant boxing robots movie. Because the way Hugh Jackman and the director of this, Sean Levy, were promoting it, they kept banging on about how this is a father and son relationship movie. And for me, I thought that's going to be boring. Who cares? I just want giant boxing robots. But I was wrong. I was really wrong because the father-son relationship in this film is fantastic and it really makes the film.
Yeah. Some decent themes do actually come out of this story.
Very much so. And actually, if you cast your mind back across all of film history, which I'm sure you do at many occasions, if you think back across, like, what, 100 years of movies, there actually aren't that many movies about fathers and sons. And particularly one where usually they're bad relationships, a bit like the Star Wars trilogy or The Godfather, say. There aren't many positive examples of fatherhood, I don't think. But this film starts off with a really bad example. Hugh Jackman's character, this film is set in the near future, and he's a former boxer who now he controls these giant boxing robots. So it's almost like playing a video game, but it's for real for giant boxing robots. His estranged son comes back into his life, and Hugh Jackman's character is pretty much like just everything bad that this guy could do, he seems to do. So he just doesn't care about his son. He's a poor role model, all that kind of thing. And then across the movie, it actually becomes quite predictable about what's going to happen. But in a good way, you really want it to happen. And you really want their relationship to forge much more strongly and much more meaningfully than what it is at the start.
So it's a good one for dads and sons?
Very much so, yeah. It is rated M, which I think is a bit of a shame. It's obviously for the violence in it. And the violence, look, I think if the kids have seen particularly Transformers, but if they've seen the Harry Potter movies, then there's nothing worse in this. It's very cartoonish, very over the top, just big machines punching each other. But it's a little bit of a shame if it dissuades some fathers and sons from going, because the key relationship here and what particularly Hugh Jackman's character deals with in regards to everything from being a role model and setting a good example to admitting his mistakes, and particularly like the fear that this man has of not being able to do the job of a father comes through very, very strongly through the film. And also it's a very entertaining piece of work as well.
Good stuff. So now to Crazy Stupid Love. Ever since Anchorman, I've loved Steve Carell. This is actually not the crazy stupid movie that the title suggests it could be.
No, it isn't. And I also should confess of being a huge fan of Steve Carell, particularly from The Office, the American version of The Office, the TV series. He is unbelievably funny in that show. And a few weeks ago, I actually got to interview Steve Carell for this movie.
What which a is treat.
One of the best, one of the best 12 minutes of my life.
Great.
In a hotel room in Sydney. He was a very gracious man. Crazy Stupid Love, it's a bit like, do you remember Parenthood, the movie from the
80s? Yes, yep.
Yes, like I think this film isn't as good, but I think the tone's very similar of the comedy and the drama being mixed together, and also finding some substance in relationships, which a lot of other movies, particularly romantic comedies, don't usually pull out of these situations. And this film starts at an unusual point. So it starts with Steve Carell and Julianne Moore's characters separating. And then the film then kind of picks up a bit of steam because Steve Carell isn't the instigator of this situation. And then he sort of goes out, hits the bars, doesn't know what he's doing with his life. And he meets a younger bloke played by Ryan Gosling, great actor, probably best known to listeners for The Notebook. Okay. And then Ryan Gosling's a ladies' man, and he starts like mentoring Steve Carell in how to pick up the ladies, which sounds a little bit suspect, and it is. Hmm. But where the film goes from there may not be what people expect, given the title of the film.
Okay.
So I think there's actual depth here. I think there is. And I've had some personal experiences that are similar to what's depicted on screen. And I actually found it uncomfortable at times because I thought they were actually finding a level of insight into broken marriages, broken relationships, and how people act during those times. I thought they were actually presenting that with a greater level of integrity and actual thought.
That's all too real.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, it's still a Hollywood production, sure. And it's a very Hollywood portrait of love whenever love comes up. Hmm. But they do it. Look, I'm not a fan of Love Actually. I think Love Actually was just overrated and very shallow.
Love Actually.
I've always got to watch what company I'm in when I say
that's okay. That. No, that's okay. So have I. When I admit that I like it, I've got to be careful of what company I'm in.
Oh, man, everybody says that to me when I say it. But look, I think Crazy Stupid Love does a similar thing where it tries to demonstrate love and relationships across different generations and does a reasonable job of that. And also, I think just the politics of separation and divorce come through in this film very strongly. And a lot of the things, particularly that Steve Carell does in response to what his wife's character does, should have a lot of men particularly questioning their own behaviour.
Timely warnings. So finally, to the quirky film of the week, the Project NIM, N-I-M documentary.
Yeah. Do you know much about this?
No. Never heard about it until now.
It's this fascinating, true story. In the 70s in New York, there was a psychology lecturer at a university there decided that he wanted to find out if chimpanzees, or pretty much find out if apes were or could be taught to be as intelligent as humans. So he was almost reverse engineering the evolution theory and try. And so he took a chimp out of
zoo.
He took a chimp. No, it wasn't a zoo. It was a animal place where they hold animals. I can't think of the name.
Rocket ship.
He got a chimp. He got a chimp legitimately. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
He got a chimp legitimately. Put it in a former student in her house. He gave it to her, and she had about six kids. And put it in the house, and then in this really poorly constructed way, tried to teach the chimp, who's Nim, so that's where Project Nim comes from, the title of the documentary, tried to teach Nim how to speak, and they realized quickly that wasn't going to work, so then sign language came in. So really what they were trying to do and what they were hoping to prove is that a chimpanzee, their intellect could evolve. That's what they were trying to show.
So strong animal rights messages.
Yeah, well, particularly with the longer it goes along, because the manipulation of this animal and even just putting it in a human environment and not really caring about the animal's welfare is extraordinary. I can't believe they did that. But it's a very fascinating film, and definitely in no way is kind of, do you come out of it singing the praises of evolution?
Okay, Project NIM, we heard about it here first. Can I make another confession?
Please.
I watched The Bucket List again on Friday night. I was a gusher. The Bucket List, Jack Nicholson.
You're a man who cries at Jack Nicholson movies?
Oh, yeah, do it. I was just hopeless. I thought, what's going on? Get a grip, man. Anyhow, that's my true confession.
I'm glad I was here to hear that.
Ben McKechnie.
Okay, Lee. It'll be okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, mate.
Film critic from Empire Magazine. Thank you so much for joining us, mate.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.